Hey Tinkers, today I'm going to talk about the hierarchy of communication. As a certain topic becomes more important or it gains urgency, you have to change the way that you communicate, and not just the words that you use. You have to also change the medium through which those words get heard. So if something is not very important and it's certainly not urgent, you can use base level communication like email. Email is great because it's an asynchronous form of communication. I don't have to be looking at my email inbox waiting for your message to arrive. I can get to it 2 to 3 hours later. By the way, if you have an email autoresponder that says, I check email between 10 and 12 every day, you can just take that down because nobody expects you to get back to them right away through an email. Email is asynchronous, so it's good for things that aren't important or urgent. The next level above email is meetings, like Zoom meetings where you've got a whole bunch of people together. This is synchronous, meaning everybody's got to be on there at the same time, and it appears to be in person, but because you're in a large group setting, it's really hard to get urgency across. So if you're doing something for education, a Zoom meeting might work just fine, but if you're trying to get somebody to take specific action right away, and especially if you're dealing with something that's got you in an emotional state, a Zoom meeting with a group is not the best way to do it. Level three is to give a tool. So better than email, better than a big meeting where you're just like teaching how to do something is to give somebody a specific tool and to say, here, use this or follow this template. We do this a lot in mentorship practice. We call it a done with you service, meaning we'll give you education, but then we'll give you a tool and then we'll talk to you about implementation. And that brings us to the next level of communication, which is messaging. Now, the top three levels of communication are actually the ones that most of us rely on the most to communicate with our staff, with our clients, with our spouse, with our family even. Messaging is like text messaging or DMs through Facebook. This is a low level of communication for a few reasons. Number one, while it's urgent, right? You get your message to people. It is very, very hard to interpret meaning in text. Even if somebody's amazing with the English language and they can say exactly what they mean to say with the proper punctuation to make sure that the message is read, it's still impossible to interpret, is that person angry or are they just in a hurry? Is that person distracted or are they just really good at texting and they use a lot of abbreviations? Is that person young or is that person lazy? That kind of thing. And so sending somebody a message, especially when you're dealing with an important topic, can easily go astray. So messaging is great for urgency, but it's a horrible medium when you're having an important conversation, especially if you really respect the person that you're trying to talk to. And this is doubly true if you're dealing with somebody that's over 40, because DMing messaging is not native to people who are over 40. We didn't grow up with it. We did grow up with the phone, which is level five. When you've got something on your mind that seems vitally important to you, and it's both urgent and important, you're best to just pick up the phone. Many, many times in my career, in the last 15 years, and I've had to learn this the hard way, when somebody sends you an angry email or an angry DM or something that's emotional, or they're trying to like get out of a responsibility, the best thing that you can do is pick up the phone and call them right then, especially if they've just sent you a DM. Not because you're trying to escalate the situation, but because you're trying to stop the situation from escalating, which it can easily do through chat or text. Chat and text are built on the framework of systems that are made to escalate messages. So you all know what happens on Facebook. Everything that you put on Facebook is usually like escalated, or people post their best life stuff on Instagram. But that also happens through messaging. We get this message and we read it inside our head in our own voice. And then we try to interpret the intention of the sender. And quite often we misinterpret that intention. And right now, because we're all still coming out of isolation, we sometimes infer like this negative intent when really the person didn't mean anything negative. They just sent us a message to let us know that something is happening, but it might sound passive aggressive, or we might, you know, put that feeling on them even if it's not there. That doesn't happen on the phone. On the phone, we're way better at reading verbal cues, even if we can't see the people that we're speaking to. And I learned this the hard way in 2006. My lease was up in my first gym space. We were moving to this big, beautiful, bright gym space, and the renovation was taking way longer than it should have. The contractor had to move a couple of interior walls, drywall and paint. That was it. And 4 months later, he wasn't done. And the deadline was coming up. I hadn't been in contact with him, but I walked over to the new location and looked around and I saw this huge mess, and it looked like he hadn't even really gotten started. I didn't know how to get a hold of him, so I sent him this email. Actually, I'm going to backtrack a little bit. I probably could have gotten a hold of him if I'd tried, but I was scared to confront this guy, to have a hard conversation. I kept playing over and over and over in my head, hey, look, this guy's going to get pissed. He's going to walk off the job. He's going to slow down. There's less of a chance he's going to get done. I should just leave him alone. So I sent him this email and I said, Ron, hey, man, I saw that no work has been done. This is really important to me. We can't open my business. I can't collect money. My family's going to starve if you're not done. Sent the email. About 39 seconds later, I get this phone call from a number I don't recognize. And Ron said, Chris, that's not how we're going to do this. This does not work through emails. If you want to call me, you call me at this number anytime, but we talk in person. We do not send angry emails. Now, in my mind, the email wasn't that angry. But looking back, it probably was. I mean, I was pretty emotional. I was panicking. But what he taught me was that a quick conversation takes all of the emotion out of it. It stops all of the like inferences that you're kind of imagining and putting on the conversation. And it gets everybody on the same page really, really quick. Here's another time. A few years after that, one of my clients was leaving the building and he said, hey, by the way, I'm pretty sure that your head trainer is leaving to open up their own gym. I've seen him poking around in vacant buildings around town. And, you know, I really think that like he's going to be your next competitor. And again, I panicked and I said, oh my goodness. Yes. He's got this opportunity. He's got this motive. He's going to be my big competitor. I've put him on this pedestal. My clients love him. I'm going to lose all my clients. I'm going to be dead. And so after stressing about this for a day, I emailed my partners who I still had back then. And one of them said, have you asked him? That was his entire response. Have you asked him? And I said, well, no, I haven't asked him. And in truth, I was kind of scared to ask him, but I made myself pick up the phone and say, I heard you might be leaving to start your own place. Is it true? And he said, no. If it was true, I would have told you. Now, if I hadn't called him, I would have gone home. I would have stayed up all night stressing, worrying, imagining. I would have been passive aggressive probably to this guy and, you know, for the next day or two until I finally got up the guts and then finally just called him and got my answer. And so the fifth level of communication is phone. Whenever you have a tough conversation to have with somebody, whenever somebody sends you a text that you think might be negative, or when somebody sends you a long emotional email, the best thing that you can do literally is to pick up the phone. That will diffuse the entire conversation. And let's face it, a lot of the times we ascribe negative intent to somebody's ignorance, which means that they just don't know the answer. Or they don't know their way forward. So we guess and we get in this big fight and it escalates because we don't pick up the phone and just call them. If somebody actually has negative intent though, if they threaten you, if they say, I'm going to do this thing and I'm going to harm your business, picking up the phone is still the best way to go because they don't expect it. So a few years this is only a few years ago, less than five, we had a hockey team come in and they had booked 10 sessions with a trainer and we charged them the team rate. But one kid, a couple weeks into the session, was playing hockey. He got hurt and he couldn't attend the rest of his sessions. Now, of course, his dad didn't say anything until the sessions were over, but that's beside the point. His dad sends me this long email. He wants a refund. But the team paid for the training. So if he was going to get a refund from anybody, it should have been the team. because we weren't charging per kid. We learned long ago not to do that, blah, blah, blah. Well, this guy's email happened to have his phone number on it. And so I picked it up and called him right away. And he was surprised to hear from me. At first, he repeated the stuff that he had said in the email. I told him that there wouldn't be a refund, and he ranted a little bit. He actually threatened to write a letter to the newspaper, and I said, do you think they'll print it? And, you know, of course, no, they wouldn't. And finally, he de-escalated, and he said, I honestly didn't expect you to call me. And it's not that you're calling him out. You're not trying to win. You never win a conversation. And most of the times, you don't need to win to win. But simply picking up the phone stops things from getting worse. And a lot of the times it makes things a lot better. So the fifth level of communication is phone. And the sixth level, you probably guessed it, is in person. When you can, the only thing better than picking up the phone and talking to somebody is meeting with the face-to-face. And that's because there are different types of communication, right? There's the written word. There's also the spoken word, which we interpret slightly differently. And then there's also body language, which we can interpret if we're right in front of the people. And we've evolved as a species to be able to do all of these things. So from the bottom up, the easiest form of communication, which should be used when there's no urgency and low importance, is email. The next level is educational meetings, where you're teaching somebody something. The level above that is giving them tools. And then we get into the top three levels of communication, or the modes of communication, which we use most commonly, which is texting. And I've explained the dangers of that. Phone, I've explained the where that's better in a case of urgency. And finally, in person. Now, can you use Zoom for in person? I know that a lot of us have been doing that for the last 2 years. If you're going to use Zoom and you're having an important discussion with somebody, my tips are this. You can't meet with them in person, so you're going to meet with them in Zoom. Use a wide enough camera angle so that they can see your entire face, of course, but also your hands. Put your laptop or whatever up on some books so that the camera is looking straight at your eyes. It's not looking up at you from below or down on you from above, because you don't want to have both people sitting at different heights, because that will transfer a feeling of power or powerlessness. You want to look the person right in the eyes. You want them to see your hands. We, as a human, we unconsciously distrust people when we can't see their hands. You want to not be distracted, not looking at other windows, not looking at your phone when you're talking to them, because just like in person, if somebody's talking to you and you keep looking at your phone, you're telling them that their message is not important to you. And so while I do think it's great to try and get people into these one-on-one meetings if you can, the problem with doing it is that, let's say that somebody's upset and you say, I'd love to talk with you about it. Are you free next Tuesday? Now they've got to wait a couple of days where their anger just kind of festers and it builds up, and they go over the conversation in their head 1,000 times. You go over the conversation in your head 1,000 times. And then finally, you get on this conversation. It's been so built up that it takes you an hour just to get through the emotions, and you can't really get to a resolution. When you use a phone, you short circuit that process. You don't give people time to ruminate, including yourself. You just pick up the phone and you start a conversation. Again, you're not trying to win, because you don't have to win here. What you have to do is resolve the problem to win. So using the phone is really helpful, because you cut out that waiting period that can be so harmful. In person is best. And if you're in the gym with somebody, you're in your business, and they are standing 10 feet away, walk up and talk to them. That's the best. If you can't do that and you have to like schedule a meeting and it's a few days away, you're better to just pick up the phone. If you can't absolutely pick up the phone and talk to them, you can go with text. But honestly, I would stop and think, like, do I really need to send this text right now, or can I wait until they're not busy? After that, you know, there are other methods too, like emails. One thing I would urge you to never do ever is to send an anonymous letter or an anonymous email, or circumvent the communication process by just complaining about somebody to other people. This is the stuff that like low-level, high-turnover employees do. They complain about their boss with other employees. This is not something that a leader does. even when it's tempting because you feel like you don't have support. So these are the models of communication, the means, the mediums, media of communication. And I hope this helps you get some resolution, pop some emotional bubbles, and grow your business instead of just waiting back and forth and getting angry over text.